I was wondering whether, given occasions perhaps when, say, the politicians were unreasonable, whether as a result of this government policy, some civil servants were left out in the cold and suffered in one form or another.
To some extent, but not to any great extent, and nothing like they were in other places at different times, and I say working themselves out of their own jobs. Yes, I don't think that. The great thing about the 1924 Constitution was that it did unquestionably lead to the Donoghue Commission. It was found to be unsatisfactory, but you can say it was a stepping stone in the right direction in that it led to the next thing, that is the Donoghue Constitution.
Yes, I'd like to come to that, just one point. You see, I raised that early question because I noted that Sir Murchison Fletcher was rather unpopular with the civil servants.
Oh yes, I think so too, personally I think justifiably. He did rather let them down, you see.
Did he play the diplomatic?
Political expediency and that sort of thing. But it wasn't only that. I wouldn't like to use the word two-faced,
Yes, I know.
He was.
No one trusted him.
No, they didn't. It's quite true, you see. He'd say one thing to the politicians and one thing to the civil servants, you see. And,
What sort of man was Tom Southorne?
Oh, he's a very fine man, Southorne. Very, very, very good. Absolutely straightforward.
Wolfe didn't seem to rate him very highly, though he was his brother-in-law.
Who? Wolfe? No, I don't think he did, but of course he was orthodox, very orthodox, that's all. And Wolfe certainly wasn't.
No. What was your own reaction to the Donoghue Constitution?
Well, it was, again, it was a tremendous step forward, but this committee system of government, that was an expedient which they tried, but could never work ultimately. They were bound. You couldn't have a minister only being able to act on the advice of his committee, do you see. You must have leaders. That sort of thing never produces leaders. And it could never work as a...
But in practice, didn't many ministers take decisions on their own?
Well, they got around it, depended entirely on the minister, on his personality. A man like Senanaka, he didn't care tuppence about his committee or any other committee, but he got things through, you see. And he's a very fine man, Senanaka. He absolutely wouldn't let go, persisted. He wasn't by any means a brilliant man, Senanaka. But he was tough and consistent, and although he was much disliked at the time in the official world, you might say, nevertheless, he came through with sort of flying colours on this. And Senanaike was an honest, sincere fellow, I think. Anyway, that's the impression he gave me.
What was your reaction to universal franchise?
Well, I didn't agree, as a matter of fact. I thought it was going too far. I know the Donoghue Commission said, look here, the illiterate chap, little cultivator peasant, he's got as much horse sense and common sense as any of us. Why shouldn't he have the vote just because he can't read or write? That was one reason they gave. The other reason, and there's a lot of substance in it, was that when you get universal adult suffrage, there can't be any bribery and corruption. The smaller the electorate, the easier it is to bribe them.
Mm-hmm. Pocket boroughs.
Yes, mm-hmm. You see. And there's some truth in that. And I think that weighed them a tremendous lot. They said, no, give everybody the vote. Then the would-be politician can't bribe Dolan. But, nevertheless, you look back in history as far as universal suffrage in this country. It took, we talk a tremendous lot about Magna Carta, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But Magna Carta wasn't democracy. It was just the barons, mm-hmm. the people who wanted power. But they corresponded, you might say, to the official civil servant. But they wanted the power, but it was no more democracy. Magna Carta, a charter of liberties for the general public. And as I say, to evolve this thing, the universal adult suffrage, it took us hundreds of years and so on. And suddenly our system and our ideas about democracy, though it may be the best for us and has proved to be the best for us, one might say, it doesn't follow it's the right system of government for other peoples. Mm-hmm. And I always felt myself very doubtful about imposing on these other people our system of democracy. That because it worked with us, it was the best system for them. That didn't follow at all. On the other hand, if you tried any other form, you know, we had a great idea that you should develop local government, mm-hmm. you see, local self-government,
yeah.
and then work up to the top. Well, there's a lot to be said for that, you see, but these central body legislatures, elected members, they had no use for local authorities or anything else. And then to try and impose a system like, say, in Nigeria, indirect rule, you've probably mm-hmm. heard something about
it. Yes, look at it.
Well, the people themselves wouldn't hear that. In Africa, they're crying, we want freedom. In fact, we want the same democracy that you've got. We want universal adult suffrage, that sort of thing. They wouldn't accept any other form. They thought any other form of a government more suitable to their own sort of experience, that sort of thing, they thought they're inferior.
Mm.
So they wouldn't have it, you see.
Well, wouldn't you say that that reason colored the reaction of some of our politicians to this Donamo experiment? The politicians didn't like it.
Mm. Yes, exactly. Well, it was in that system different, you see. This sort of committee system, it was framed on the London County Council. I think it was there. You know, they in all these big bodies, they had these committees and so on. But they thought, no, this is not the same thing. But I do agree on all these reforms. Approach to self-government, wiser way, is slow but sure, but looking back, I don't think that
But did, would you go so far to say that civil servants tended to consider the Donamo Constitution rather a madness, or else, you know, look on it in a rather horrified manner?
Yes, I think it's true to say they didn't like the change,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't like the change because it was a nearer approach to self-government, and that they were being superseded, which they were, of course, to make their minds.
Mm-hmm.
They were being, but on the other hand, they were very loyal mm-hmm. in carrying it out.
Yes.
They did accept it. They didn't like it.
And very few left because of it.
Oh yes, not many at all. Mm-hmm. Those who did leave weren't the best people.
Mm-hmm.
but they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite naturally, that doesn't mean they didn't think it was the right thing to do and the inevitable thing to happen, but they just didn't like it. It was change, it was a transference of a diminution of their own powers and influence. And there it was, but on the other hand, they were very loyal. There was no sort of...
I couldn't
be otherwise, as a matter of fact.
I would have expected some friction under a new constitution. But would it be correct to say that there was friction between the officers of state and the politicians at the outset, in particular?
Yes, there was a very, very divergent views between them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. I don't think there are any open sort of quarrels.
Yes, I see.
But I remember now Senanayake. He was, of course, underneath all these things that
mm-hmm.
formed the Constitution, what looms large in the minds of the politicians are the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Appointments.
The appointments, the jobs. And I remember Senanayake and others, they were very keen that no European should be appointed to any post. Irrespective of whether there was a Ceylonese fit for it, they would not have another European appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And at the back of their mind, they wanted all these jobs for their own people,
mm-hmm.
which is not unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. I remember once saying to Senanayake, after a meeting, I was secretary of the governor at the time, we came out, and I said to him, look here, why are you so insistent on getting rid of these ever some irrigation engineers?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't got any chaps of your own to do it. And I said to him, well, what's it matter after all? In 25 years' time, that was in 1934,
mm-hmm.
about then, I said, in 25 years' time, there won't be any.
Mm-hmm.
It's only being patient with these chaps from abroad
mm-hmm.
for just a few more years and then they're gone. I said, why have all this bitterness and ill feeling and get rid of them now, bearing in mind that you haven't got anybody to replace them and what's going to happen, I don't know. But I said, look, why not let it go on for peace sake? This was a conversation I had when he was leaving Government House after a pretty hot meeting with the governor. But what I was saying was that underneath all mm-hmm. their agitation and so on, they wanted the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, I don't blame them for it.
Mm-hmm.
And provided they had the men to fill them, those jobs, then
okay.
Quite okay. You must do it, you see. And I worked on that policy thereafter.
Did you feel that the politicians, the state council and the ministers, were unreasonable in some of their demands? Say like this, but in specific cases or in general?
No, I wouldn't... Right. I wouldn't say they were unreasonable. I think their attitude was quite natural. But I think now and again, they were a bit foolish mm-hmm. if they hadn't got the men to fill the post, you see. They were adamant, though we won't have another European sort of thing.
I was wondering whether, with regard to these differences of opinion, the character of the officers of state had anything to do with it. I mean, was Tyrrell the sort of person who would make a good chief secretary under this constitution?
Yes, well, I'm afraid that Tyrrell was a little diehard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was the old school. He was too old to change. He was too old to adapt himself.
Woods?
Woods was an exceptionally... He's one of the most able men that Ceylon ever had. I should say.
End of interview.